what everybody is talking about is the heat of the summer. And, you know, a little reprieve today with this this cool rain that came through. But if any of you are outside in the last several days, you all know how hot it has been. And also just how tiring that can be. It doesn't take long to be out in this kind of heat, and it just kind of wipes you out. And you're thinking to yourself, where can I get some refreshment? And so when I think of refreshment, I think in the summertime, I think of several things. These are not all the things you would think of, okay, but they're what I'm going to think of this morning. And one of them is watermelon. I can't think of any other fruit that when I'm hot, I can eat watermelon, and it really kind of quenches that thirst. I don't know how it does it, okay, but I'm going to have a piece right now just so you guys are tempted. That is sweet. The other one that I like is iced coffee. Some of you don't, you think iced coffee, ugh. Well, I just happen to be a coffee drinker, and that's what I have up here, some iced coffee in my mug. And it is a refreshment. To people who like coffee, it is good. And then there's the old-fashioned lemonade. And I know that of these things that are up here, there are more things out there that we use to refresh ourselves in the summer. You know, it could be a dip in the pool or the pond. It could be sitting in the shade with a nice breeze blowing on you on a deck and just reading a book and just kind of hanging out. I don't know what you use to refresh yourselves, but we all do certain things to bring refreshment to ourselves. But when you think about that, then you have to think about, so what causes us to become tired? Well, it can be just physical stress on our bodies, where we're working and we're bending and we're creating whatever it is we're doing. It can be that we carry burdens that are quite a bit heavier than what we were intended to bear. It's possible that it's related to health, or it can be related to marriages. It can be related to relationships. It can be related to the sins that tend to bog us down. Everybody's got them. Everybody's got that sin in their life that just tends to want to keep after them. And if you fall to a sin, you know which one it is, okay? It kind of comes back and it says, hi, I'm here again. And you just say, go away. And he says, no, I want to stick around for a little bit longer. You know, it's that habitual, I'm going to call it habitual, I'm just going to say nagging. That one that just kind of keeps knocking on your door and you keep falling for it. That's a burden. That can be a burden that's really tough to get over. And so this morning, I just want you to think about how that makes us tired. And I want you to think about this idea of restoring a tired soul. Now, I purposely have put that tired soul up there in kind of a really hard-to-read perspective, because I want you to feel the tiredness that's there, the tired soul. It's kind of like having too little butter over too much toast. You're with me, aren't you? I mean, it's kind of like I'm spread so thin that I don't know what I'm going to, in fact, it's not really very good at all. It's better to have no butter, but just a little butter spread that far, or jam, or jelly. Doesn't make any difference, but a tired soul. All those things we talked about create a tired soul, and it's a funny thing that a tired soul cannot be refreshed with watermelon. It can't be refreshed with iced tea. It can't be refreshed with a lemonade. You know, Jesus talked about this in Matthew, the 11th chapter. And if you have your Bible, you can turn there. Matthew 11, 28. And as you're turning, I want to give you the backstory to this, because you're going to listen to this and say, so why did Jesus say this at this time? And that's the question I asked. Because if you read the story from chapter 9, clear up through chapter 11, you're going to see that Jesus in chapter 9 is healing a demon-possessed man. He casts out this demon. this burden this man had. And the leaders of the religious community at that time, and you know, in our culture, that would be the priests and the pastors and the seminary professors, those people who know what's supposed to be going on. They looked at Jesus and said, "You did that by the power of Satan." Now, Jesus had been doing miracles throughout all the land of Israel, okay? And they looked at him and they said, "All that you have done, you did because of Satan." Wow. Because all that Jesus did was the power of God. And so he looks at those men and he says, "You know what? I denounce you guys. You're all about do, do, do. That's all you're about. You have no faith." He looks at his disciples and he splits them up two by two and he sends them out to do the same works that he was doing. In fact, they healed people. They cast out demons. They had a great miracle that happened in chapter 10. Miracles upon miracles. John the Baptist dies right about that same time at the hands of Herod, who took his head. John the Baptist was Jesus' cousin. And you wonder, as you think about Jesus, here's a man who is God, but yet he's also in flesh. And he's just been rejected by his people. And he has just sent out his disciples. He may have been alone at this particular time. We don't know. And his cousin is killed. His disciples come back and tell of all the great things that were going on. He talks about faith in him with them. And then he says these words in Matthew 11, 28. He says, "Then Jesus said, 'Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light.'" Jesus gives us an invitation. Here it's an invitation for tired souls. I don't know where you're at today, but I suggest and I think that there are a few tired souls among us. Stretched a little too thin. Involved in a lot of do, 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 and go, go, go. That's summer. We're going to do this, and we're going to do that. We're going to go here, we're going to go there, and we just keep doing it. And then we build the burdens up, and we don't get rid of them. We don't take time away, and we don't do these things. And Jesus says, he gives this invitation. He says, "Come to me." Notice he doesn't say, "Come to my teaching. Come to my miracles." No, come to the person. Come to me. Jesus makes it very personal. Why is that? Because I think the religious leaders have basically said, "Come to church. Come to synagogue. Come to the works that you have to do." And as a result, these people that he's talking to, and the people who are reading this today, are weary. They're weary from carrying heavy burdens that are placed on them by themselves, through the sins that they tend to want to hang on to, sometimes through performance. Well, if I'm just good enough, if I just do the right things and don't do the wrong things, then I'll be good enough when I finally come to see God and he's going to accept me because, you know what, I've tried my best. Jesus says, "I want you to come to me. Don't come to performance. Don't come to obedience. Don't come to the things that you have in your tradition. Come to me." He says, "I will give you rest." That word is really a fun word to say. Rest. Kind of the burden kind of just flows off you a little bit, doesn't it? It's part of this promise of restoration, of adding a little butter, a little jam to the toast, you know? So when you take a bite of it, it's kind of like, oh, yeah, that's just what I was looking for. Or taking a drink of the lemonade. No, that's not so good. That's watered down. You see, that's kind of like Jesus and our refreshment. You know, you look at something like that and you think, wow, that's going to taste really good. And you take a taste of it and it's kind of like, oh. That's kind of the difference between what the world offers us and what Jesus offers us. This is kind of watered down, look good, rest. And what Jesus is saying, I want to give you real rest. I want to give you soul rest. He says, take my yoke upon you. A yoke is something that was used in Jesus' time, a very agrarian culture, not like our agriculture today by any means, but they still use tools. And so in that culture, a yoke was generally a piece of wood that was fashioned to go over the neck of the ox that then two ox could pull together one plow. And we think to ourselves, we don't do anything like that anymore. Well, some people do. There are people who harvest and do this by hand. But for us to understand this a little bit, let's put this in another context. Let's put it in our own context. A yoke is simply a tool. That's what it is. A yoke is a tool. It's a farmer's tool, which by he could put two oxen together and they could pull together. So what are some of the tools we have that make our work easier? Well, let's just take tractors, for instance. A tractor requires a driver and the tractor, right? So the tractor is really a yoke, isn't it? Because the tractor driver yokes himself to the tractor and causes it to go down the road in the right direction, and it's easier work for the driver, isn't it? Or let's take the skid loader. Same idea. Or let's just take the car. The vehicle you came here this morning is just simply a tool. And when you get into that tool, you turn it on and you participate with the tool to drive you from point A to point B. And some people with no amenities and other people with all kinds of amenities inside the vehicle, but it didn't make any difference. The tool is the car. Take my yoke upon you and let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. He says here, I want to teach you. The word actually is the idea of learn from me, because I am humble and I'm gentle. The interesting thing about Jesus, about God himself, is that we see him sometimes as this grumpy old father figure who's looking down on us, shaking his finger at us, telling us, now you guys get your act together and that maybe you can get into heaven. That's not what he's saying. This is not a grumpy old grandpa. This is a man who is humble and gentle. He's not shaking his finger at you. He's humble. You know, I've often said and heard people say that God is a gentleman. He's a gentleman. He will never go where he's not requested, and he will only help when he's asked. But when he's asked, he puts all the power of the Godhead behind it. That's the gentleness. And his humbleness is, you know what? If you want my help, I'm here for you. If you don't want my help, you know what? Do it your own way. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give is light. The idea for easy to bear is that the yoke has been fashioned for you. It fits perfectly. You know, when you get in your car and you start it up and you move the seat to where it's supposed to go, you know, and it's the right distance from the pedals, and you kind of sit in there and you say, man, this feels good. I can drive a long ways. It's fashioned to where you're at, to who you are at this time in your life. That's his yoke. his tool to help bear the burden for you. And he says, my burden I give you is light. It's not heavy. But notice he says that he gives us a burden. There is something we have to do. The Christian life is not just about sailing down the road without any problems. There are burdens that we will bear in this life. And he says, let me bear them with you. Let me bear that burden with you. You know, this invitation has kind of a twofold prong to it. There are people in this world, and probably people that are listening to me today, where they look at this first invitation, come to me, as it's personal, but they've never said, you know what, I have never come to Jesus personally. I've never asked him to forgive my sin. I know that I'm a sinner, but I've never thought about the fact that my sin is separating me from God and that I need Jesus to help me get past the sin so I can have a relationship with God. That's what he's saying. Come unto me. So if you're here today and you've never said, you know what? I've been trying on my own to get to heaven. Jesus says, come to me now. Ask me now to release your burden, the burden of your sin. He promises that by his blood and his resurrection, that he will forgive your sin and build a relationship with you. Take my yoke, that is the relationship with God, with Jesus, to be yours. But the second side of that, this yoke, is for those who have already placed their faith in Christ. They've already come to Jesus. They've already said, forgive my sin. I want you to be part of my life. But sometimes in the life of every believer, there's a time when we wander away from his path. We kind of say, I think I want to do it my way for a while. I don't really want to come to Jesus right now. I'd like to go someplace else. And for those of us, when you do that, I will tell you that the burden becomes really heavy. The struggle of life becomes even worse. And there is no watermelon, iced coffee, or lemonade that's going to relieve it. In fact, let me go a little step farther. There is no alcoholic drink, no concert, no music, no dancing, no nothing that will answer what you have. It's an empty hole for a believer. In fact, it's been said that the most unhappy person in this world is the person who knows Jesus as Savior but is walking apart from Jesus. He knows what he could have, but he chooses not to take it. And he lives in this space in here. The space in between these two fingers is a space called frustration and agony and burden and frustration and a deep weariness in the soul. Even the unbeliever, the one who does not know Jesus as Savior, he doesn't know this over here. He just knows how empty he feels. And he tries to fill it in with all kinds of stuff. All the do, 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 and the go, go, go of our culture. You know, we're a culture. We're a culture that thinks we're connected. Right? Don't get me wrong. I think it's a great tool. I do. I think it's a great tool. But when you put something out on that social network, you type in your burden, and you get all these responses. They come back, oh yeah, I'm with you, I'm with you, I'm thinking of you, I'm praying for you, I'm praying for you. And then the next feed you see from them is something else that they're doing. They're hanging out, they're going to do their own party scene, whatever it is. And you think to yourself, they don't even care about me. No. Well, yeah, they do. They answered your text. We are so connected, but so disconnected, it is not funny. Jesus says, take my yoke. Many of us are using the yoke of Jesus right now, and we are getting in our car, and we're turning the key on, but we don't start the car. We just turn the key on because then we can steer the car, unlock the steering column, and then we get out, and we start to push the car down the hill because there's no way we could go up the hill. And then we get to the bottom of the hill, and we try to go up the hill, and we're pushing this car. The burden has become the yoke without the power. You see, when you walk apart from Christ, when you know Christ, that's what you're doing. You've got the yoke, but you're pushing the car to get it to go where you want it to go. And you wonder why it's so darn heavy. Jesus says, my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. This is what John said of this very statement. He says, loving God means keeping his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. And we look at that and we say, okay, so that's about obedience. No, it's not. It's about love. Is it hard to love those that are around you, to do what's right for them? No bother at all. Is it a struggle sometimes? Oh, sure. Sure, it's a struggle. But you know, when it all settles out, after you've helped someone you loved, it's kind of like, it's not a burden at all. It's a command to do this, but it's kind of like, no big deal. That's what he's saying. If you truly love God, then his burden, what he asks you to do is not a burden. It's what you really want to do. See, this is Jesus' invitation. It's just the words again. First of all, come to me. Come to me. Come to Jesus. There's an old statement, we need a come to Jesus moment. Everybody needs one. Maybe a couple of them in their lifetime. Where they just come to Jesus and they say, Lord, I just need you. All you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. This morning we're going to come to the Lord's table, and I will invite any person in this room who has placed their faith in Christ and wants to walk with him to come to this table. If you've not trusted Christ, if you're in that first category, those people who have said, you know, I've been doing this all my own way, and I want to turn to Jesus. If you need to ask Christ to come into your life, now is the best time to do it. And you know what? It's not about walking an aisle or saying a prayer. It's about you saying to God in your own words, I need you. I need you to come into my life to forgive my sin so that I can take your yoke and my burden can be lighter. I want to walk with you. Do that before you take the elements of this table, this food. If you're a Christian today and you've been walking apart from the Lord, you're over in this camp rather than this camp. You're over here. You've got tremendous burden on your life because you've been walking apart from him. Just simply come and confess your sin. We've talked so many times in here about confession. It's just telling God that he's right and you're wrong. And then repentance is simply, I'm going this direction. I confess my sin and I turn around. I turn away from the sin and I walk toward God. That's what it means to take his yoke. I take the way you're going to do it. I'll go your direction. I'll act in your way. Before you take the elements of the bread, which we'll all take separately, I'd ask that you get yourself right with the Lord. I want to say this to you in all seriousness as your pastor. Don't wait for tomorrow. I know some people that don't take this table because they don't think they're worthy. There is none of us who are worthy. I also want to say that none of you know whether you have today or tomorrow left. We think we do, but we do not know. My suggestion is use this table as a place to get right with the Father, to take his yoke upon you, to receive his rest. So I'd ask the servers if they would come as I pray. Father God, we have tired souls. You have invited us to come to you, Jesus. And so right now, I'd ask this congregation to respond to Jesus. Father, would you hear our prayers? Would you restore our souls? Would you renew us and refresh us as only you can? Thank you, Jesus, for your body that was broken for us. And as we take this morning, we do it because we remember you. We remember your sacrifice for us, and we choose this day to take your yoke upon us, to follow your direction, to do what you want us to do, because we love you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.